Now that this verse was depressing, so now we'll have a little cheerful verse. That's what Bhagwan gives us. He gives us both choices. Okay, if you do the wrong thing, this will happen. If you do the right thing, this will happen. So that is how entire Bhagavad Gita, the teaching is, this is wrong, this is right, and the choice is yours. So Bhagavan gives us the choice of what to do in the, what wise people do, Mahatmas. Mahatmas, the reason he's telling us about Mahatmas, so you and I can also follow what Mahatmas do. So verse number 13, Mahatmanastu mam partha.
Mahatmanastu mam partha.
Daivim prakritim ashritaha.
Daivim prakritim ashritaha.
Bhajantyananya manasaha.
Bhajantyananya manasaha.
Jnatva bhutadim avyayam.
Jnatva bhutadim avyayam.
Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakritim ashritaha. Bhajantyananya manasaha. Jnatva bhutadim avyayam. So tu, but, Bhagavan says, tu means but, Mahatma. Who are Mahatmas? We'll talk about that. But Mahatmas, how do they act? So, O Partha, O Arjuna, Bhagavan says, mam daivim prakritim, my divine nature, ashritaha. They take refuge in my divine nature, in the Lord's divine nature, daivim. And what do they do? Once they come to me, then what is their life? How do they live their life? So it's not only what is their knowledge, but how do they live their life? Bhajanti ananya manasaha. They worship me constantly, with their mind constantly on me. So worship me, bhajati me. Now we think bhajan means singing songs for God. So you mean they sing songs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are taking that and bhajanti, singing songs. And then when do they sleep? When do they shower? When do they eat breakfast? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Ananya manasa, with nothing else in their mind. So let us see what Bhagavan means by that. And why do they do that? Jnatva, knowing me as Bhutadim Avyayam, the beginning of all bhutas, all beings, and I am the bhuta, I am the beginning of everything, not only animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, but also all the inanimate objects, the rocks, the mountains, the rivers, everything, you know, the mines, everything, the oceans. Everything, I am the origin of that, but I am avyayam, I am undisturbed, unaffected. So wise people, Mahatmas, whom we call as the great souls, they worship me constantly, knowing me as the origin of all beings, and they take refuge in my divine nature, in my divine They align their thoughts with my thoughts. That is how, that's what they say, tune your mind with God. So this is verse number 13, and in one of the commentary, the 13th is, this one is said to be the best verse in the Bhagavad Gita, because it describes how wise people function. And the reason for that is not to appreciate, Swami Chinmayananda was like that, or Jain Mahavir was that, or Buddha was that, or Jesus was that, and we clap. No, it is for us to copy how they live their life. So he says, so verse number 13 is called Tera in Hindi. And there's a very interesting incident in Guru Nanak's life. Guru Nanak ji, a lot of you know, must know. He's the founder of the Sikh faith. And so when Guru Nanak ji was asked to count, you know, in Hindi we count 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And he came to 13 and he stopped. He said, 13, 13, 13, 13. He said, Nanak ji, please keep counting. Ek, do, teen, char, you stopped at Tera? Why did you stop at Tera? He said, no, there's nothing beyond Tera. Why? Tera means Tera sab kuch hai. Everything is yours. See, in Hindi, Tera means 13. Tera also means yours. So when we talk to God, we say, Tera tujhko arpan. You know, we say that when we do Om Jai Jagdish, Tera tujhko arpan, kya lage mera. We sing it, and when we come out of the mandir, then whose car is it? Mine. And if somebody scratched it, why did you? Immediately we get upset. When we Tera hai, and we are not ready to give anything. Somebody asks for donation, they say, no, no, no. I cannot give donation. You just said, everything is God's, and now somebody is asking for a good cause and you don't want to give. So, Tera tujhko arpan, we sing it and we say, kya lage mera, but it is other way around. Sab kuch lage mera, Tera tujhko kuch bhi nahi arpan. We should change the prayer of Jai, then it will be correct prayer. That's my opinion, but you don't have to sing that. So, that's why the word Tera is very important. That's why the 13th chapter also in the Bhagavad Gita is one of the most powerful chapters, which has the entire teaching of the Upanishads. When we come to that, you will see. It's a very beautiful chapter which talks about the Kshetra and the Kshetrajna, the field and the knower of the field. So he says, Mahatma. So what is Mahatma? Mahatma means Mahan Atma. Mahan Atma means they don't consider themselves Mahan Atma. We have to look upon them as Mahan Atma. What they understand is that the Atma within me is Mahan. God within me is all powerful. They understand that and they live that. They respect their God within. That's why when you respect, when you know God is watching everything and is with me and is great, then you will worship God. You will not do things that are wrong. So that is called Mahan Atma. And that means they are always with God. And they worship me as Adim. The last line is Adim Avyayam. I am the origin of all beings. And then we'll come to how they behave in the world. Why do they do that? Because they consider me as the origin of all the beings, but Avyayam, which is not destroyed. So the example they gave is mud. Now mud is the origin of all the pots, right? Mud is in the origin of all the pots, not only here, but pots in China. If there is a pot on the moon or somebody takes a pot on Mars, everything, the origin is mud. Mud, mud and mud alone. And so when we look at all pots, we should see mud, that there is mud here, everything. It may be a blue pot, green pot, yellow pot, oval pot, round pot, short pot, big pot, everything is mud. So oneness you are supposed to see. Same way when we see all human beings, we should know that their origin is one. Just as all pots are mud, all human beings are divine, all animals, birds and plants are divine. Everything should be respected and worshipped. The difference between mud and God, even though we use that example, mud gets modified. You know, mud was brown and flat and without shape, and then the potter can shape it and make it into a round pot and then color it blue and gold. So mud can be changed, can be modified, but Bhagwan himself, when even though the universe came out of him, himself or that consciousness, we don't even say male or female, but that Bhagwan, that consciousness, that Brahman from whom the world emerged is Avyayam, does not get changed. And we had done that in the 4th and 5th verse where it is said, they are in me, I am not in them. For those who are not clear, please, you can go to firstpower.info and listen to my talk, or you can listen to Pooja Gurudev's commentary. You can read it in this book. In fact, I would request everybody, please read this before you come to the class, if you can. Because once these ideas are quite, you know, advanced, some of them. So if you have read ahead of time, then when we discuss, the ideas will become more clear. And also if you have any questions, because Gurudev's teachings are somewhat difficult, then you can write down and then at the end we can discuss. So, he is the immutable, unchanged, does not get affected by what is happening. Then we say Ananya, Bhajati Ananya Manasa. They worship me, they remember me with nothing else in mind. What it means is that when I am praying to God, I worship God as nothing else is equal to Him. Nothing else is that important as my time to pray, as my time with God, and my affiliation or attachment to God should be as supreme, that this is the number one thing in my life and nothing else is equal to Him. Nothing else is there. Everything is God and God and God alone. So that one-pointed devotion to God, that is number one. That is called Ananya, where there is nothing else in my mind. Second meaning of Ananya is that when I worship God, I am not worshipping for Anya, for something else. I don't say, oh God, I am here at the temple. Please make sure that my daughter gets married. Please make sure my son does good in school. Please make... That's okay. To pray to God is okay. But you go to the temple and say, oh God, please come in my heart. Please manifest, make yourself manifest to me. Please work through me. Please let me not have arrogance. Let me not have ego. Let me always be with you. You know, that's what they say, na? There is that, main tujhko bhool jaun, you know, Bhagwan meri naya, janjaton mein main tujhko bhool jaun, par tu mujhe kabhi na bhulana. You know, oh God, even though I may forget, you never forget me. So be always in my heart as me. So that is called Ananya worship, where I am not worshipping God for something else, I am worshipping God for Himself. I want you for your sake, not you so that I may get... Yes, if you have a problem, it's okay to pray, or your daughter or your son or somebody is sick. But mainly, but you don't only go to the temple when somebody is sick or when I need something. Every day one should remember God. That is called Ananya. And remember that I want nothing else but you and you alone. And once I have God in my life, everything else will come. Based on my karmas, on my actions, I will get. Whatever my daughter needs, whatever my son needs, whatever I need, I will get based on my karmas. It's okay to pray, but do not pray for something. Pray for God, getting God. That is Ananya Manasaha. Now, there are differences between Siddhas and Sadhakas. Siddhas are the wise people, the enlightened masters, the gurus, the prophets, the teachers. For them, it is spontaneous. They all the time live in that God awareness. They don't have to struggle because they have become one with God. And those are the great prophets, the great saints, the great swamis, the great mahatmas, you know, all the heads of those who are enlightened masters. For them, it is spontaneous. They are called Siddha. But for you and me, we are called sadhaka. Sadhaka means one who needs to put effort. They have already reached while you and I are still struggling to reach. So the sadhakas have to constantly remind themselves that yes, whatever I have is okay, but eventually this will go away. And I have to constantly bring my mind to God. This is Tera Tujhko Arpan. You are the one who has given me everything. Whatever I have is yours. But what we do, we get so caught up. You know, I'm buying this real estate. So I have this deal. I have not this deal, that deal, that deal. I buy real estate everywhere, all heavily leveraged. And then one day, market crashed. Everything is gone. Or the stock market. Or whatever we depend on, you know, we thought our children will take care, and we call them and they say, sorry, mom, sorry, dad, I'm too busy. I don't have time. You know, I'll put you in a nursing home. You can go sleep there. No, nothing we can depend on. So the only thing you can depend on is that. So that if I have, whether I am in my home or whether I'm in a nursing home, that is my karmas. If that has to happen, let it happen. But I am always with God. As long as I'm chanting His name and with the mala, doing the mantra, whether it's Nijnam or whether Gayatri mantra or the prayer of Jesus, doesn't matter. But chanting the name of the Lord constantly and constantly making the right choice. See, we are always given two choices, whether to go on the path of good or the path of materialism, go to the path of God. So constantly make the right choice and do serious sadhana. See, when we sit for prayer, when we sit for study, when we sit for yoga, for meditation, we very quickly get up. You know, 20 minutes is enough. 20 minutes in a day, in 24 hours, if you give for God, is not enough. You have to give at least 1 or 2 hours every day, at least out of 24 hours, either in studying or prayer or meditation or service. And as we get, a lot of us are retired or close to retirement, increase that time. So serious sadhana, serious study, not casual. Theek hai pad liya, no, over, Gita is over. No, again and again we have to read. Even 8 chapters we have done. Pick up the book and study it again. Again, read all the 8 chapters again and again. You can listen to, as I said, go to First Power. So serious study, so that we seriously analyze these shlokas. Not only analyze these shlokas, but make them part of my life. That is the idea. And what is bhajan? Bhajan is not only singing songs in the temple. That's very good. But bhajan is constantly remembering God. Constantly. Even this, what we are doing, sitting together and discussing about God, that is bhajan. Because we are singing His glories. We are learning about Him. We are remembering Him. Seeing Him in all the beings. Seeing Him everywhere. Every action is God's service. So that is true bhajan, constant remembrance of God and constantly bringing God into your life. So just praying alone is not enough. You have to bring God into your life. So this very beautiful example, say you have a headache, right? So you put 2 tablets of extra strength Tylenol on the altar and you say, oh, Tylenol Devai Namaha. I bow down to Tylenol. Then I offer, do aarti of Tylenol. Then I do dhupam of Tylenol. Then I say, oh, Tylenol, please bless me. Please come to me. Please take care. It's not going to do that. You might do 108 names of Tylenol if you have come up with acetaminophen, all the languages. You have to take the Tylenol, put it in your mouth and let it become one with you. Then only Tylenol will have effect. So I'm not saying that one should not pray to Bhagwan or do aarti or do 108 names. That is very good. One should do that. But not with the idea that God is there in the temple. I prayed to Him. I've done my 30 minutes. I'm gone now. Okay, goodbye, God. I'll see you tomorrow. Or I'll see you next Sunday. That even, oh, I went to the Gita class. 1 hour, ho gaya mera kaam. Or I went to church for 1 hour. I slept through the sermon. And now my work is over. No, constantly making God part of you, like you make Tylenol part of you. Then only Tylenol will, the Tylenol Deva will only bless you if you take it. So same way, whether it's Shiva or Krishna or Jesus or Buddha, they will only bless you if you take them inside and make them part of you. And we have these stories of so many great ladies, you know, Parvati Devi, Mother Parvati. She said, I want Shiva, I want to have become one with Shiva. And she went through multiple lifetimes and never forgot. She kept doing tapas, she kept doing her puja, she kept doing her meditation, her mind was chanting. She even gave up her life when her father in one of the lives insulted Lord Shiva. She burnt herself on the fire because she... So that kind of devotion do you and I have? Do we have? Are we ready to give up our life? Are we ready to spend 24 hours? If it's my business, I'm ready to spend 24 hours, 7 days a week. Are we ready to do even half of that? Are we able to do what Parvati ji did or what Rukmani did, where Rukmani said, look, my parents want to marry me to somebody else. Oh, she wrote a letter to Bhagwan Sri Krishna. She said, come and take me, kidnap me. I don't want anything. I only want you. I have married you. I want. And Bhagwan Sri Krishna came. He came with his chariot and he took her away. Sita ji, she said, I am married to Ramchandra ji, and they made the test so hard that no human being could do it, only a god who was in human form. So the point is, just as they committed their whole life to God, that's the example we need to take. We need to learn. These stories are not just meant in the Puranas. We say, oh yeah, Parvati ji, look, she was so great. And we read the story, we close the book and put it back. No, that's not. The reason to study Ramayana, to study Sri Krishna's life, to study the lives of these great saints is to bring them in my life. That is the purpose. So that's what they say, that Mahatmas, these great souls, they take refuge in my divine nature, constantly remember me, knowing me as the origin of all beings. So that is the purpose of this shloka.